it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here. 105.1 FM, The Fan. 1080 AM, the Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. That's what we're calling the Fan Sports Network. Thanks for being with us. Hope your hump days are off to a good start.
I think one of my favorite things is waking up at 3:30 and having a triple shot in my fridge waiting for me to just chug.
Woo!
We're awake now, baby.
Didn't take long to get going up for that. It's a lot of caffeine, man.
It's a little much all at once. You guys drink 55 cups of coffee during the show. I don't think you're
one. I have four or five, but
I have one, actually.
One. I know he has at least nine.
Swag goes back and forth, fills it up a lot. I come in with a cup of coffee, and then I drink a Celsius throughout the show, and then I usually switch to water.
The course of a show.
Yeah.
That's better.
Feisty today.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous to react that way, as if we're not all in the same hell of waking up at 3:30 to 4 a.m. every day together.
Yeah, I'm not tired at all, dude. I raw dog it. No caffeine needed for me. We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. I have a dumb segment that will debut today that I don't know if it will continue, but we'll find out as the weeks go on. Let's start, though, with the long-awaited and anticipated game. Do we have any game show music in there? Do we even play game show music for this?
I know we have game show music.
Flip it or stick it. Now, for those who are new to the program, this is something that we do. We like to make our preseason picks, right? We pick our win-loss records in college football. We pick our division winners and Super Bowl, all that stuff in the NFL. We're not at the halfway point of the NFL season yet, but we're entering in week 7 of the college football season. So
it's kind of sad, dude.
It's wild how quickly it's going.
Yeah.
Not everybody's played 6 games, so some people have, some people haven't, but it's week 7. We're kind of there.
Yeah.
We're playing flip it or stick it. So the way it'll work is I'm going to remind you what your prediction was preseason for the 4 Northwest schools. And then you get the opportunity to stick with your preseason pick or to flip it. And I will write down your new flip pick, and we'll go back at the end of the season and laugh about, hey, remember when you thought this was going to happen, then you flipped it to this, and then this ended up happening. It's a fun way to make us feel like idiots.
Okay.
There is one team in here that I know we will all flip because mathematically they cannot finish with that record.
Let's get that out of the way quick.
So let's start with the Oregon Ducks.
Oh. Yeah, flip it.
Oregon Ducks win-loss prediction start of the year. Jason Swigart had Oregon going 11-1.
Sticking with it.
Oh, that was quick and easy. All right. I'm going to write down stick. Brandon Sprague had Oregon going 10-2. And I had Oregon going 11-1. Swag has communicated his desire to stick with his 11-1 pick. Brandon Sprague, flipping it or sticking it?
We're flipping it, Bob.
What are we flipping it to?
I'm borderline want to say they're going to go undefeated again.
Ooh.
But I'm not.
You say 11-1?
I'll say 11-1.
Okay.
I don't know where the trip up is. I still circle that game up north, and I know they're much better than that team.
Could be this weekend.
Could be this weekend. God, if a certain Southern California team beats you, that's...
That's not happening. They can't win road games in the Big Ten.
I know they can't, but...
Not happening.
God, I need that to not...
It won't happen. Don't worry. We're good.
Well, I'm going to need you to refrain from violence, Bob, because I can't imagine what he's going to say when he comes in here in the five-minute window.
We can actually have a conversation about this, and I want to see people who are on my side. So Meringue wants to have a bet for the Oregon-USC game,
yes,
which I'm all for. It's fun to have wagers.
Sure,
we've
absolutely
done that for years with the Civil War.
Is he demanding points?
Well, he wants the outcome, the loser of the game, to paint their face in the other team's colors.
Uh-huh.
If Oregon wins the game by 14 and the spread's 14.5, I have to paint my face.
So he wants the points.
He wants the points, and I think that's cowardly.
Now, Oregon State, Lincoln Riley demanding.
Thank you. Oregon State, there were different levels here. Like you cover, and there's a spread there. Like I got to cover. Okay, I totally get it. You want points? I'll give you points.
But
we're not playing the same sport.
That being said, even past a certain point, when they were in a conference
it would
together,
still feel weird
you
when
would
it was
get
like,
pissed when yeah. you'd be like Oregon State plus 21 and a half.
Yeah, and Oregon would win by 20. And it's like, dude, what? Now I have to pay the punishment. We won by 20 points.
Dirt the cheerleader.
Yes. Okay, I just want to make sure we're all in the same. Like, that's a straight up bet, right? You're in year four under Lincoln Riley. We're in year four under Dan Lanning. Are you going to brag about covering a 14-point spread in year four under Dan or Lincoln Riley?
Well, somehow he has still kind of been critical of your team, despite what both have been doing. And I just laugh because if the roles were reversed, he wouldn't be telling you how Dan Lanning is doing this in year four and it's okay. He'd be making fun of Oregon.
Yeah, I'm all for a bet. It just got to be a straight-up bet.
It's a straight-up
straight
to me.
Thank
but
you.
But you have to agree with that with him. That's between yes. you two.
Okay, 11-1. I will stick with my 11-1. I don't know who gets them. I'm going to give myself the out there, the off-ramp, if you will. 12, like going back, undefeated back-to-back regular seasons would be pretty remarkable.
Mm.
If they win this weekend, there is not a current top 25 team remaining on their schedule. Now, Washington might be in there if they beat Rutgers on Friday.
I think the Huskies could
so they could be back end top 25. If USC beats Michigan, maybe they're in the back end of the top 25. But currently, as of right now, there is not another ranked team remaining on their schedule after Indiana. Let's get to Oregon State.
Yeah.
We'll just go ahead and get out of the way. We're all going to flip.
We're all flipping.
Here were our preseason picks. Jason Swigard said 9-3.
Yeah. you went more aggressive than I did.
You were feeling nicey over there.
Yeah.
You and I, Sprager, went 8-4. So that's an automatic flip because mathematically they cannot finish 8-4, 9-3. They're currently 0-6.
I would say 7-5, and that mathematically doesn't work either.
6-6 is the best
even
that they can finish.
Even 6-6 I'd flip.
Yeah.
Because they're going to lose another game.
So we'll just go around the room. Sprager, I'll start with you.
Yeah,
what is your flip two?
Sam Houston is worse. I know.
Lafayette.
Okay, you don't know it. What's Lafayette's record?
1-5?
I don't know. I was asking it. You, and you don't know either.
Let me find what the record is.
Watch him beat the
FCS. Too.
Oh, so I can't find that? Is that
you
not
click,
like
well,
Lafayette
you can find
football?
It, but you got to dig.
Google Lafayette football.
Yeah, I'm going to try and find it.
Anyways, Lafayette and Sam Houston.
They're the Leopards? The Lafayette Leopards?
Mm-hmm.
They are not. They're 4-2.
Wow.
They lost to Bowling Green and Princeton, but they got nice wins over Stonehill.
Of course.
Georgetown, Columbia. They dominated Columbia.
Oh, the Lions.
And they're coming off a 24-10 win over Fordham.
Are we going to get Sac stated again?
Except this one would
hurt the most.
I mean, I think if you lose to Lafayette, you just shut everything down and stop playing football and tear the stadium down and build like a horse track or something. I don't know.
No, you probably double down and then you talk about how garbage Brandon Cooks was internally. That's probably the move.
Nobody will remember Brandon Cooks in 15 years. Nah. Steven Jackson, everybody forgot him.
Flip it. I'll say 3-9.
I think there's three on there. Okay, 3-9.
I know two.
Do we, though?
No, I don't.
Do we,
I'm going 2-10.
Yeah. 2-10 for Swag.
I just give the chance that they catch a Coug at home, but
they
like,
do play him twice, and if Wazoo stomps him the first time, how interested are they the second time?
Are we going to be shocked if they keep it somewhat close to Wake, who probably doesn't care about this game?
I mean, they should be 4-2 right now. But what new creative dumb way will they find to lose it this weekend?
It'd be funny if it was special teams again.
God, yeah. I too will go 3-9. Why? I don't know.
Where's Oklahoma State on the roster on the schedule when you need them?
I think Oklahoma State would beat you, but that's
don't they play Tulsa?
They do
play Tulsa, who beat Oklahoma State.
But Tulsa's not great.
Tulsa got Mike Gundy fired.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-9.
Your remaining schedule is Wake Forest at home, Lafayette at home.
I think that's a win.
Bye week.
Yeah.
Washington State at home.
We'll see.
Dude, you guys aren't going on the road again until like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Sam Houston State at home.
That should be a win. So there's two.
At Tulsa.
And then at Tulsa.
Oh, you're
and at Wazoo.
Tulsa.
It's at Tulsa. You know who's down there?
Wazoo.
You know who's down there? The Tulsa King. I'll go 3-9. All right. 3-9, 3-9, 2-10. Okay, here we go. Let's go to the Huskies. How are we feeling about the Washington Huskies?
This might be my only stick it.
Oh, okay. We're going to stick here.
I think so.
Okay. Preseason predictions. Swag and Sprague both went 9-3 for the Washington Huskies. I went 8-4. Brandon Sprague sticking with 9-3. They better than that or worse than that? Or just right?
Huskies are on
track. They got
track.
Rutgers on Friday night.
Here,
so they got
I'll look it up so you don't have to read it out loud for me.
at Michigan, home to Illinois.
Yeah, I just said this to Dirt.
Okay.
That's the big nooner, by the way.
It is.
You know what? I'll flip to 8-4.
So we're downgrading one win?
Yeah, because
downgrading one win.
I can't confidently pick them to beat Oregon.
Okay.
Michigan's a tough one. The trenches. Hey, Illinois is a flip with Wisconsin. I could see them dropping one of those.
Okay.
So I'm going to say 8-4.
8-4 is a good year. Year two under Jed Fish. You feel really good about where you're going.
I'm going to stick. I think they get Illinois at home. I think they struggle at Michigan. Obviously, they'll struggle with the Ducks. They have a bye before they go to Wisconsin, so it's not a quick turnaround.
He should go there midway of the bye week is what I would do.
Yeah.
Get on a clock, dude.
What if that ends up being a big noon or two?
It better not be.
Just brutal.
They'll be used to it by then.
I don't know if that helps, because they went on the road a bunch last year, and that didn't really help them a lot when
Joel
they played those early games.
Joel is the forefront of their broadcasting crew, and he's just week by week got to be looking at the schedule saying, Wisconsin, Washington?
What are we doing? Oregon Northwestern was a big nooner game.
Like, if I'm Joel Klatt, at some point you have to say out loud, do I want to be the lead guy at Fox when it's the big nooner?
Yeah.
Or do I want to angle for the next CBS gig?
Yes. Can we put our big boy pants on and have a game on in primetime? What are we doing here? I, too, will stick. I think they're going to lose to Michigan in the big noon game. I just don't think they're there in the trenches yet for Michigan.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I think Oregon will beat them at the end of the year. And then to your points, like, just is there another one somewhere in there? I do think they get Illinois at home because I think Washington's a different team at home than they are on the road.
I'd kick myself if I end up being right on my original and I flipped it.
You have flipped.
Yeah.
So I, too. So I'll stick with mine at 8-4. If somebody else gets it. But, again, I think you feel great. If you're 8-4 this year, you're 200 Jed Fish. Young quarterback. Yep. I mean, you're going in the right direction. So that's a two-win improvement. Last but not least, in our flip it or stick it game, first edition, Washington State. Mm. Now, this was a pure blindfold throw a dart against a wall. Nobody had any clue.
I couldn't remember the coach's name.
Our picks for Washington State at the start of the year, Swag, you and I had 5-7 for the Cougs, and Brandon Sprague, look at him, feeling good on the Cougs. 6-6, you had the Cougs bowling. Mm. Are we flipping it or sticking it with our Washington State picks, who currently sit at 3-2.
I'm going to flip it. I'm going to improve it 1-6-6, and they get bowl eligible.
Okay.
I'm going to stick. I want to go 7-5, but they're at Madison, James Madison. I don't know if James Madison is any good.
Neither do I.
But I think they get the Beavs at least once. Holy Toledo, what's that in the Speedo? I think that's going to be a little bit of, hey, we played UVA and Ole Miss back-to-back weeks, so that's going to be nice. La Tech at home. Yeah, I'm going to stick 6-6.
6-6?
Yeah, I'll stick.
You know what? I'm high on a little Coug supply right now. They have exceeded my expectations. When they lost in North Texas, I think we all did the like, oh, God. Here they come. That was pretty ugly. And then they hung in the Washington game until late. Their defense eventually crumbled.
Yeah.
And they turned the ball over too much. They went on the road and dominated Colorado State. Nobody saw that coming. Not surprised that they won. Next two will be challenging. They're on the road at Ole Miss this weekend. And then they're on the road at Virginia the following week, who is ranked in the top 20. But the back half is totally favorable, man. Oregon State twice, who has not looked good. We know that. Toledo at home is a winnable game. Louisiana Tech is a winnable game. And James Madison is a winnable game. So you give me a bunch of five games, I think they can win four of them. I don't think they're going to win in the next 2 weeks. I'm gonna flip it to 7-5.
There
I think the Cougs get to 7 wins this year.
Yeah. You haven't swooped my Beavs?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
I think they have the better quarterback. I think once they solved the Zevi Eckhouse problem there and got him in the game, he's changed their offense. Defensively, they found a rhythm a little bit after how bad they were against the Huskies. So I like Wazoo and what they're doing. I'll flip it to 7-5. There you go. Your flip it or stick it picks. The first edition of the 2025
Thank you.
Year.
Thank you.
We'll have to do our national championship flip it or stick it at some point this week. So we'll see if we want to fold that one in. I got a feeling there's a lot of flips there.
I don't think it's a choice. I think I got
mathematically speaking, you have to flip your pick.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that at some point. You know, sometimes it feels like piling on, but it's not piling on right now. How could you be this dumb and tone deaf? How is it possible? That is next on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I will give you Dirt's stupid, kind of funny, important but not really, NFL stats. Just wait.
Stat.
Just wait.
Factoid Wednesday.
I'm adding a factoid segment. Will I do it every week? I don't know if I will. It's impossible to get to all the factoids during the show.
Okay.
You poo-pooing my factoids?
I'm more just like, so we're doing the same segment with your name on it?
Yeah, basically, okay. Yeah. But all of them are random.
Okay.
What do they mean? I don't know. You'll find out.
Are mine not random?
No, they're random.
Okay.
I'm going deep.
Okay.
I
hope they're kind of stupid.
They are pretty stupid.
Okay.
None of them really matter that much, but they're just things that I found funny.
Swag gave me a stat, and maybe you either stick with that segment or you just ball it into the Factoid Tuesday. Swag gave me a stat, and I was very upset he didn't give it to me for Factoid Tuesday.
Ooh, an NFL stat?
One that, like, you have to do a double take when you hear it.
Okay. It is like a sad game of Groundhog Day at this point, of what are we going to wake up and find out today? How could things possibly get worse? I sent out a tweet 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically, like, every day I wonder how is it possible that things get worse for Oregon State, and then somehow things get worse for Oregon State, and a lot of Beaver fans were like, yeah, man, it's pretty bad right now. It probably will get worse. And then yesterday, it got worse again, not just in one way, in multiple ways. And I don't know how long this will go on for. I'm waiting for whatever news bomb we'll get today of like, oh God, they didn't see that coming, and here we go again.
Mm.
So for those who missed it yesterday, there was a trio of stories around Oregon State athletics that just, here we go again. Their number one football recruit, verbal commitment,
yeah,
for the upcoming recruiting class. This is a day after Trent Bray, at his press conference on Monday, was asked, are the guys in your recruiting class locked in with you despite being 0-6 and not winning? And on Monday, Trent Bray said, yes, the recruiting class is locked in. We have no questions about that. He also refuted a report from Andrew Nimick about, you know, polling scholarships for guys that want to take other visits. He basically tried to say everything's fine in recruiting. I don't know where this reporting is coming from. Literally 24 hours later, their number one commit decommitted and flipped his commitment to Fresno State. So that was the first one that was like, oh, here we go again. Then another person inside the athletic department, Justin Johnson this time,
mm-hmm,
who was, I believe, Oregon State's NIL business manager, just resigned. Said, see you later.
Yeah.
Walked out of the room and has updated his LinkedIn already to show that he's a former Oregon State employee. Didn't take very long to update the old LinkedIn. And then, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Sure.
There's a report out there about Brent Blaylock saying to Steve Johnson, nobody in 10 to 15 years will remember who Gary Payton is.
Hmm.
Now, that stemmed from a conversation about starting an NIL collective with Steve Johnson and Gary Payton wanted to do something to help the basketball program. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
And Oregon State shot it down. They didn't want anything to do with it. And everybody's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Now, the details of how the meeting and what was said on camera. Now, Gary Payton was not on this, you know, back and forth between Blaylock and Steve Johnson. This was said, I believe, from Blaylock to Steve Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And he was frustrated that those two former players were more focused on making money for the branding of Oregon State basketball players, and the argument from Blaylock was essentially the name on the front of the jersey is more important than the name on the back of the jersey. People remember Oregon State. They don't remember the name on the back of the jersey, and it doesn't matter who you are in 10 to 15 years. They don't even remember who Gary Payton is. That was said from the associate athletic director.
So he was upset that the former players wanted to directly help the basketball program? Didn't the guy come from Arizona?
He did. Yeah, he did.
What's the number one sport at Arizona?
That would be basketball.
What's like almost a cult for that university?
That would be basketball. What is the whole point of the Blueprint Sports Partnership? To make money for your players, to brand them?
I mean,
The whole argument for the relationship is to make those guys more money?
I'm sure in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, he's going to deny ever referencing any of this, because that's all they do now, is just saying,
well, that's not,
it's
true.
Not true.
That's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true.
That's misinterpreted.
That's not what we said.
I don't know, man. It
you're out of stuff to say. There's nothing you can say.
Well, yeah, because it's Groundhog's Day. What do you want me to add?
Dude, I know there's nothing you can.
That is debatably the biggest athlete of your athletic department's history.
Yeah, he's on the Mount Rushmore at the bare minimum.
It's not even a question. He is a Mount Rushmore athlete of your institution.
The cover of Sports Illustrated, the NBA career that he had, a Hall of Famer. There is no doubt about it.
His GD kid came to your program,
yes,
and single-handedly took that team,
yeah,
from the depths of hell back to the tournament after not being there for 20-plus years.
Ended
your tournament drought. Like, I don't even want to equate it to any other institution because no other institution would be dumb enough to say that out loud. Yep. They would just welcome them in with open arms and do whatever they can to collaborate with them and use their fresh ideas, use their name and their platform and say, yeah, dude, it's been bad for Wayne Tinkle. We're down right now. How do we get out? Well, maybe these two guys can help a great deal. Instead, you try to say that Oregon State, which is, I mean, if you just polled the country of college basketball teams, it's got to be one of the more irrelevant teams in the field of college basketball. And you tell them, no, nobody remembers your name. Yeah, dude, I don't have much to add other than the entire athletic department should be gone.
Yeah.
Like,
the evidence
restart.
Just continues
hit restart. This is a Nintendo in 1994.
Refresh.
We need to hit the restart button. It's glitching right now. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I'd love some accountability and not the kind that's like, Dear Beaver Nation, I'm aware of comments, and they're not great. We'll work hard, and we'll be better. Sincerely, the athletic director.
Starts in earnest now. We're going to start taking this stuff seriously now.
It's an embarrassment. I saw Beaver fans at the App State game, and I know those trips aren't easy to cancel. And dude, kudos to you. All 45 of you that went out there.
To Boone,
I couldn't
North
believe
Carolina.
It. I couldn't believe it.
It's a long flight, man.
I can't believe there are 45 fans of Oregon State at this point based on every single day something new happening.
Yep. A couple other quick notes, too, on this because there's not really. More of it's just updating people on what the latest is and how much of a dumpster it is. And the only hope is that people get fired and you start anew and maybe that is your pathway back. It should also be noted, I can't remember if we mentioned this on the show yesterday, one of the reasons they touted their relationship with Blueprint Sports was because of the number of entities and universities that also had a relationship with Blueprint Sports.
Yeah.
But they have had so much bad publicity since the Oregon State contract has gone viral. Arkansas ended their relationship with Blueprint Sports yesterday. One of the universities that is supposed to be a partner with them is Penn State, and it has now come out that Penn State actually doesn't run any of their NIL through Blueprint Sports.
So they were claiming Penn State was a partner, or people were trying to...
There's some sort of partnership, but they don't run their NIL collective. So it's a totally different partnership, and so it's essentially the whole thing that you touted of, like, they have all these connections, and look at all these universities they work with. Now that is starting to crumble for you.
Mm.
And then it got so bad yesterday that even Washington State dunked on Oregon State because they have their own collective in Pullman called the Cougar Collective.
Washington State dunked on
them? Dude, they took a steam and dump all over you.
Well, they should.
They went to social media, and it's in bold at the top of the tweet. It says 97%. It's like, oh, what does this mean? And they go through all the different things that they sell, all the different ways that they make money, and the fact that 97% of the money that the Cougar Collective has raised has gone directly to student-athletes. And they were touting that on social media yesterday.
Who is, I'm trying to remember who it is. Hold on.
I do want to give a quick tip of the cap. Ryan Harlan has done a really good job covering this stuff.
I have seen his reporting on that. He's done a great job.
The Belligerent Beavs is a podcast. I want to shout both those guys out.
Those are alums.
They're alums. They're passionate fans.
Oregon State, yeah.
They're filing Freedom of Information Acts to try and get documents. Like, they're holding their university's feet to the fire, which is exactly what you need to do in moments like this. And so a lot of the reporting has come from both those guys.
And McCoy. That's the AD at Washington State.
Yeah.
She's lapping.
Their tweet says 97% coffee, lager, swag, buses, happy hours, 1890 club, matching campaigns, cold calls, handshakes, high fives, over 8,400 volunteer hours logged. We're thrilled to announce that so far in 2025, 97% of every dollar received by the Cougar Collective has gone straight to Cougar student athletes, surpassing our goal of 90%.
Look, we all say things that we don't largely mean, and I was kind of joking. I'm kind of to a point now with what I'm hearing by every single day that passes, honest to God, I could be a better athletic director.
Yes.
Because I'd get on the horn, I'd apologize profusely to those legends.
And the relationships you need to end.
I'd welcome them in. I'd cut this blueprint crap. I would look at some of the football stars. I mean, this is the modern day. Damian Lillard is a general manager while being in the NBA.
Yes, he is.
You know who would be
a
general manager at Oregon State football? Probably Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks, come on home, buddy.
And then I call all the other legends, and I'd bring, like, this
what
is
are the Rodgers bros doing right now?
It's just the easiest stuff. It's right there. What is difficult about this? And instead, they're like, how can we make it harder on ourselves and then cry, woe is us, we're poor. Like, that's what they're doing.
Eagerly awaiting to find out what the domino is today. There'll be something. What's going to come out today? Does it continue to get worse? Probably will.
They're 100th in recruiting nationally. According to Nemec, it's the worst recruiting class they've had since 24/7 began tracking recruiting.
It's not good, Bob. Things are not good. They continue to get worse. And they're going to lose some more commitments, according to Nemec, in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, they're 0-6. So,
yeah, just fire everybody, start over until they do then. I don't know why anybody would pay attention to it. Let's get to a couple of NFL stats I want to give you. That's next. Got some fun facts for you. Some tying into college, too. How about this one? The run that Bob Wischusen? Is that how you say his last name?
Wischusen.
That's a tongue
Bob Wischusen.
Wischusen.
Bob was choosing.
Sure. And Lewis Riddick, their run of four straight games, get this. You know what games they've called in the last 4 weeks? Week three, it was Georgia Tech Clemson.
Okay.
Outright win for the underdog.
Oh, I know where you're going with that.
Week four, Syracuse Clemson.
Yeah.
Outright win for the underdog.
Damn right.
Week five, they called the Virginia Florida State game. What happened there, Bob? Outright win for the underdog. What game were they on the call of last week? Florida and Texas.
Wow, that might have ended last night.
Outright win for the underdog. Now, Bob's back. He's not calling a game this weekend, but Lewis Riddick is. So if you feel like there's a transitive property that Lewis Riddick is part of this as well, Lewis Riddick will be on the call of Iowa State, Colorado.
Wischusen was on the Panthers-Blackhawks game.
Yes, he's doing ESPN NHL stuff. So he'll probably get back in the mix of some.
I assume Florida's a favorite in that game. Banner night, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who. Yeah.
So it was home ice, the Blackhawks.
Different sport. I don't know if it carries over different sports. We're just sticking in college football.
Okay. All right.
So now I'm just remember this weekend if Colorado beats Iowa State.
He is the most underrated, and I know we throw that term out a lot about people in broadcasting.
Agree with you.
But it's not the most household name that people say.
Always enjoy when he's on a call.
For me, he's the modern-day Gary Thorne.
Gary Thorne's a good one. I love Gary Thorne,
too. Gary Thorne was awesome.
Yeah.
I was thinking more Mike Patrick, but also, yeah, Gary Thorne's great. Those are kind of the same thing for me.
God,
man.
I loved Mike Patrick as
R.I.P. Mike Patrick, yeah. Gary Thorne, and Bob Wischusen are like that tier that doesn't get enough love, but most people probably tell you they like their games.
So that's kind of a funny trend. So keep an eye on what game they're calling. We'll see if it continues with Colorado, Iowa State, and if Lewis Riddick has that power to bring the Buffaloes in a win over the Cyclones this weekend. Here's some fun, stupid NFL stats for you that don't mean anything that I just thought were interesting. The last time the Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens...
Oh, I saw this stat after the show.
After the show yesterday. Yeah. I saw this and I'm like, all right, that's wild. The Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens all lost in the same week, okay, following along, was week 9 of 2017. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson were in college, and Patrick Mahomes had not taken an NFL snap yet. How is that? Like,
because they've been amazing.
What? The Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens have not all lost on the same weekend since it's almost been a decade since that happened. And they all lost this weekend. The Bills to the Patriots, the Chiefs. Obviously losing.
Yeah.
And the Ravens as well. I saw that one. I was like, that's pretty wild. How about this one? Kind of makes sense, but also still funny to laugh at nonetheless. Justin Fields and his starter as a quarterback in the NFL. You know what his record was when opponents score 21 or more points?
Oh, man. It's got to be terrible. I'm going to say...
He's played in 26 games in his NFL career when the opponent has scored 21 or more points.
1-25.
0-26.
Yeah.
He has never won a game in the NFL as a starter when the opposing team has scored more than 21 points.
Remember when people were excited because week one happened? How long ago does week one feel really for a Jets fan? Remember that game?
They almost beat the Steelers?
Steeler game?
We thought their offense had figured some things out. We're like, hey, that's not bad. Look, here they come.
And then they played the Bills and they couldn't get past the 40.
That is so bad. Wild, dude. Absolutely wild. I gave this one, I kind of threw this one out the other day, but I still find it interesting because it's the idea of will that luck always carry over? And I think we give the benefit of the doubt to the quarterback. Last year, the Kansas City Chiefs were 10-0 in one score games, so 7 points or less.
Yep.
10-0 in those situations. They are winless this year at 0-3.
Turnovers and one possession games or one score games
it just in sports in general, you just kind of have to condition yourself.
The bounce of the ball, the luck.
Flip.
Yes.
Now, they're kind of an exception to this rule. I think largely in his career in one-score games.
They're great in one, because you give him the ball with 2 minutes to go and he's got a chance to win it. He's usually going to do it.
Well, he did. He should have done it. The defense couldn't get a stop and Chris Jones quit. So, yes. It doesn't happen. For him, that's a rarity. For everybody else, the rule is if my team, like you're seeing this with the Jags in real time, they have 5 more takeaways now than they did their entire season last year. Yeah,
turnover luck is a hell of a thing.
Turnover luck is real, and I tend to think that one score games, the Mariners have kind of bucked this trend.
Yes.
The one run game thing, we said, I feel like every year for the last 3 years, oh, they're great in one run games. It's going to flip. It doesn't flip. They're just, that's who they've been. And so with Mahomes and the Chiefs, they largely are great in that spot. That's one area that's like, oh my God, it's flipped on them. And now look at it. They're 2-3.
Last one I'll give you. These are just random dumb things that I identified throughout the week. And I wait to see if you put them in Factoid Tuesday. And if you don't, maybe I'll carry it over. We'll see if this segment continues or not. You know, I got to slip one in there about my guy. I got to put one in there for Justin Herbert.
Oh, what's the excuse this week?
This is a pretty good one. He's been pressured 80 times so far this year. Oof. 80 times. Terrible. What have they played? 5 games, 80 times. Do the math there. Yep. Do you know how many times those 80 pressures have led to a turnover-worthy play from him?
0.
That is the answer.
Yeah.
0 times. He had a turnover-worthy play. Now, that's an advanced analytic that shows, did you throw the ball into double coverage? Was there a chance that something bad could have happened, but maybe it didn't? 0 times has he had a turnover-worthy play under pressure.
I got one that'll add to you.
Ooh, another dumb, stupid NFL stat for a Wednesday?
For the Cincinnati Bengals, who is tied for second most tackles?
Solo tackles.
Solo tackles.
Yeah. I think I saw this. Is it Jamar Chase?
Yes. Yeah.
4?
3.
3.
He had more tackles than Trey Hendrickson.
He had more tackles than Micah Parsons. I think he has more than solo tackles than Micah Parsons on the year. I think that stat was floating around yesterday.
And I understand that, like, he's a receiver, so if a pick happens, he's a little more in the open. It's still crazy to say that out loud. That's how bad Browning and the turnover stuff has been for them. He's so one of their lead tacklers.
So bad, dude. So bad. We'll get to Lucy Burge coming up at the top of the hour. Stat or story, of course, at 9:15. I love my stat, love my story today. I'm feeling pretty darn good.
Mine as well, and okay. I have to ask you guys, if this happens to you, I don't know if a better thing could happen in your life.
Oh, okay. I like that. That's a nice little tease. How many game fours do we get in the division round of the playoffs? We'll get to that coming up in the final hour of the show. Lots to get to. I do want to play a little peekaboo with the college football slate this upcoming weekend. We'll dive into that next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm pretty psyched this weekend. I'm taking Teddy Ballgame to his first duck game. He's popping his duck cherry this weekend. See how it goes. It's supposed to be wet, so that'll be fun.
You got the headphones?
Got the headphones.
The earmuffs?
Earmuffs are there.
Nice muffs.
Will they stay on? Probably not.
Yeah, they might need to.
Will he want to run around the concourse the entire game? Probably. Will he want to sit in his seat?
Are you like unlikely. Just up in seats, or are you in like
Oh, no, we're in seats. Yeah, okay. We're in seats.
Where would
I'll be down there doing the pregame show.
Suite or something where he had like room
not quite suite worthy.
You think he's getting a suite?
Yeah, not quite to that level.
He knows people.
I know people, but not those kind
of people. Those people ain't giving him a suite.
They ain't giving me a suite. I'll be down there doing the pregame show, and then, the wife and the kiddo are coming down, and so very excited to take him to a game. We'll see how it goes, though.
This is going to be mid-third quarter, one-score Oregon game, and he needs to go on the concourse. Mom, you need to take him because I can't miss this?
Yeah. That's exactly how it's going to be. So, we'll see how it goes.
You want to take him to a game?
I want to take him to a game. His favorite stuffed animal is the duck. We got him a duck stuffed animal at the duck store. And if you press on one of the, one of the hands, it plays the fight song. And when the fight song plays, he starts dancing. We've also taught him to say, "Go Ducks."
You're putting him in the cult early.
He's in the cult. He has been brainwashed. He is fully ingrained in all of this. It's in his DNA at this point. He loves his duck. He sleeps with his duck every night.
Yeah.
So he's duck, duck. He says duck a lot. And yes. So, you know, we're like, ah, take
is it quack? Duck, you know? Can he quack?
He can quack. He says quack, quack, quack.
Quack, 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 Mr. Duck.
Got him one of those little, you know, remember when Oregon used to
the
do
kazoos.
The kazoo, the duckbill kazoos? Dude, he's all about that kazoo thing. He'll walk around the house, just playing it all over the living room. So very exciting weekend ahead for us. But it is a interesting college football weekend. We'll talk more about that game as the week goes on. We'll have the Indiana play-by-play guy, by the way, Friday morning, early, 6:15.
Is it really supposed to rain?
I think it's raining in Eugene this weekend.
I got a soccer game on Saturday, dude.
I think it's supposed to be wet after today, if I'm not wrong. Damn. I think today is our last day of relatively nice weather.
I will say yesterday
was... And then we got a week straight.
It's been a bit too much with the heat.
You there with me?
No, I'm not ready for rain. Can I get a breezy
little
sun?
Starting tomorrow afternoon.
It's nothing but rain
until Monday afternoon.
Saturday precipitation, it looks like it will be in Eugene 2 to 3 p.m. Light rain. How sloppy does it get? I don't know. But there's a chance it'll rain.
That's going to be not fun on the weekend. Hot. We're not getting above 60 on the weekend.
Dude, yes. Thank you.
Traffic and weather, 5 minutes here on the fan.
Now it's going to be actually needed, maybe. So let's play a little quick peekaboo before we get to Lucy Bird. She'll join us on the YouTubes in a moment. We'll talk to her about her going viral in the New York Post and all the different places she did this peek-a-boo. Past weekend. I'm just going to throw a couple games out there. Anything for you? Is Illinois good?
I think they're good. They're not great. They're not what we thought. Well, some people thought. I didn't put them in this category. I thought they were kind of one of those, they might be 8-4, and that's a good year for them, but I didn't buy the sleeper Big Ten title game team.
They lose by 53 to Indiana, and then they beat USC. They get Ohio State at home this weekend.
I think they can keep this relatively tight for a while because of the clunkiness and slow start nature of Ohio State. I don't know how much I'm looking forward to the game because if I was to power rank football games, there's a game happening Friday that's infinitely bigger than that game.
Oh, is it South Florida, North Texas?
Yeah, because that's an elimination game for one of those teams in the group of six college football playoff conversation.
North Texas is undefeated. They don't have the quality win that South Florida does going on the road to an SEC team. Their best win on the year probably is Washington State.
Well, this would give them a quality win. It would remain undefeated, and it would eliminate South Florida. If South Florida wins at North Texas, who's undefeated, this will matter for the committee when you look at this stuff because it's Memphis, South Florida. I think that game, and I know those teams aren't going to beat a playoff team.
Sure.
That game, to me, I'm more excited for that off-the-radar game than I am Ohio State-Illinois.
We get a Washington game on a Friday night this week, too. They got Rutgers in town on a Friday night. I believe that's a 6 o'clock kickoff on FS1.
It is.
We get a weeknight game for the Huskies.
Rutgers
is not very good.
Not having a stellar season.
They're 0-2 in Big Ten play at this point. We'll make our Big Pack picks, but they've lost to Iowa and Minnesota. Now, both those games were competitive. I'll give them that. I don't know if that's a feather in your cap that you want, but it wasn't like they got blown out in either game. So that I'm with you. That Friday night game is very interesting for the group of six team that has a chance to make it. If South Florida wins, it almost feels like a lock. If they win that game
I think Memphis is higher ranked.
I know, but what is Memphis? And maybe you can correct me on this. Yeah. Does Memphis have a quality win? Because I think the only reason they're higher ranked is South Florida has a loss. But South Florida having the win over Boise in dominant fashion and the win over Florida, and their only loss is to a team who should be ranked number one in the country right now.
And I don't disagree with the resume of South Florida.
That would help a ton. Memphis is in the same conference.
Ranked, so that's unfortunate. They'll meet if they, you know, we talked about this earlier this year when I didn't know they were in the same conference. They'll square that away.
Memphis' best win is against Arkansas. They beat Arkansas 32-31.
That's right. It was comeback.
That
was
terrible
a big
win.
Comeback by them. Yeah. So that'll sort itself out if South Florida can get past North Texas.
Okay. Any other upsets looming for you guys? I think some of the candidates would probably be Georgia on the road at Auburn. That's the primetime ABC game of the week. Florida is at Texas A&M. That's one that it's like, is Florida any good? Do they find any offense? That's kind of a...
Can they handle success?
Can't, yeah. I mean, now that they finally played a good game, is that more about Texas being a dumpster fire? And look, Vegas wouldn't say it is, but win-loss ranking-wise, it definitely would be. Oklahoma losing to Texas would be a massive upset there. Vegas, not so much, because Texas is the favorite.
I don't think people... In that game specifically, when you have that kind of rivalry...
We throwing the records out the window?
A little bit. Okay. Yeah, it's a little cliche. I don't know if you tell me come Monday, Texas.
How big of a shock if USC beats Michigan at home?
Shouldn't be a shock. They're favored in the game, I think, aren't they?
Did you see Sharon Moore's comment, by the way?
I did see Sharon Moore's comment.
Basically, it's sold out because of us.
Which, you know.
Lincoln Riley's like, I'm not going to respond to that comment. Like, well,
they are 2.5-point favorites.
They're a slight favorite at home against Michigan. But to your point, from a ranking standpoint, that would be an upset. That's another line that I look at that I'm just like,
Texas Tech have anything to worry about with Kansas at home?
I wouldn't think so. Texas Tech seems like a wagon, but yeah, college football shows us it's stupid every week. You never know where it's coming.
At Auburn, I think, is live.
Yeah. Could be a little bit of a chaotic weekend, I think, is the point I'm trying to make.
Well, the one thing, too, and I have brought them up back-to-back weeks, and we talked about them today already, but like having to play at Georgia and then host a clearly much better coached physical Vanderbilt, and now you go to Missouri, talk about a gauntlet of three games in a row.
It's tough, dude.
That's going to be quite the test. And if they can look the part, they're only 2.5-point favorites, by the way.
Yeah.
If they can look the part, there's going to be a lot of like, hey, is Alabama really taking that step post the loss?
This SEC chatter, the strength of schedule stuff, you ready for this to dominate the conversation in the sport for the next month? Because that's all it's going to be. I know it always does. This went on, it went viral yesterday. People looking at South, you know, South Carolina's next five games were against
tough teams.
South Carolina in the next 5 weeks plays at LSU. At home against Oklahoma, at home against Alabama, on the road at Ole Miss, and on the road at A&M. The lowest-ranked team in that next five-game stretch is number 11 in the country. And then that led to people pinpointing Oregon's schedule following Indiana and who they play the 5 weeks after Indiana and saying these things aren't the same. So just get ready. That conversation will dominate. Should you be given more, you know, wiggle room if you lose more games? Look at all the tough teams that they played. That is going to be the dominating conversation.
Your Cornhuskers going to Maryland after getting a win against Jonathan?
Nothing's coming easy for Nebraska. Nothing at all.
Took them a while to separate themselves in that game.
Even their win over Michigan State this past weekend. So, no, that's absolutely an upset pick because Nebraska deserves no benefit of the doubt at this point. We got a loaded final hour. We'll get the status story coming up at 9:15. ALDS, NLDS, how many series continue into a game four? Let's start there with Lucy Burge live on YouTube. She went viral last week. How's she feeling about all her Boston teams, especially the Patriots who got a big win in her interaction with the guy on the mound for the Yankees today? Lucy Burge next, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.